23 years ago yesterday, we lost one of the 20th century giants. She died on September 5th, 1997. And though she stood, I think, less than 5 feet tall, she towered among most of us. The world knew her as Mother Teresa. And of course, we know her sisters, that she founded this order called the Missionaries of Charity. They wear those iconic white habits with the blue stripes. And Mother Teresa, whom we now call Saint Teresa of Calcutta, her legacy was really to go after the poorest of the poor, those whom the world had forgotten and rejected, and she would pick them up and love them. So her name of her order, the Missionaries of Charity, she would show the charity, the love of God, to whoever he put in her path. She'd pick up the dying, and she would be the presence of Jesus to them, but also she would see the face of Jesus in all of those to whom she ministered. And she even won the Nobel Peace Prize in her lifetime. So the world took note of her. And she said of peace, you know, this winner of the Nobel Peace Prize, this is what she said about peace. If we have no peace, it is because we have forgotten that we belong to each other. She knew this well, that the world had forgotten that we belong to each other. And so she tried to do her best in her life with her sisters to pick up those whom the world had forgotten, to let them know, you belong to me, and I belong to you. And this is a great lesson for each of us to learn, that we belong to each person in the human race. We belong to each person in the church in an even deeper way, that we have a relationship with one another. I prayed that in the opening prayer, that each of us receive adoption as members of the church, and that we are truly God's beloved sons and daughters. And if Father Johnson and I are both sons of the Father, that makes us brothers, whether he likes it or not. It's just like biological families. You may not choose your biological family, but you're still brothers, you're still sisters with those in your family. We belong to each other. And because we belong to each other, that requires a certain amount of relationship, and it requires us to act in a certain way. Paul preaches to the Romans today about this. He says, brothers and sisters, he calls them out by this familial name. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. Love does no evil to the neighbor. So he tells us in our relationship and in our belonging to one another that we ought to love one another, that there's no place for evil in my relationship with my neighbor, my relationship with my brother or my sister. And Mother Teresa would remind us that love has to be put into action. I can't just love and then be distant from my brother or sister. I can't love and then forget them in my actions. It actually requires me to take a step forward, a step toward them. And we hear one way to do this in our reading today from the prophet Ezekiel. Specifically, when we have a brother or a sister in our life who's in error, who may be doing some wicked things. The Lord tells Ezekiel, when you hear me say anything, you shall warn them for me. See, Ezekiel had to recognize that the people that he had to prophesy to belonged to him, and it required his action. The Lord even says, if you do not speak out to dissuade the wicked from his way, the wicked shall die for his guilt, but I will hold you responsible for his death. I have to be my brother's keeper. If I have a brother or a sister who's choosing bad things, charity demands my action, and it demands me to speak to them in a certain way, to point out a fault. Now, certainly silence would be easier, or talking behind the brother or sister's back, that'd be easier too. But pulling them aside and out of love for them, sharing something that you observe, that takes commitment, that takes risk. But it's ultimately how we can love our brothers and sisters in action, how charity demands this action from us. Now, a few caveats here. We certainly would never do this in a public way. You know, there's this new term out there. It's probably been 5 years old or so, doxing. You know, we see this a lot. People find out some wicked thing that a person's done and they smear their name. They smear their reputation. They try to destroy the person publicly. And you even see this in the church. It's a great scandal. So we certainly would never want to call someone out to destroy their reputation. But we would want to do it in a private way. You know, when we do it publicly, it looks ugly. It looks scandalous. But when we do it in a private way, it looks like love. It looks like charity. And Jesus gives us four practical steps of how to do this today. If you search the scriptures for practicality, you got to land here, Matthew 18. Remember that number, Matthew 18. This gives us the steps of how we would approach a brother, a sister, someone who belongs to us out of love, and how to bring up something that may be hurting them in a charitable way. When I learned how to do this in just Christian living and Christian household, it was profoundly impactful for me because it changed something in me that I could now use these tools in order to win a brother or sister, to repair a relationship in a healthy way. First, Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go to him and tell him his fault between you and him alone. That's the first step. Go to a brother, go to a sister alone and bring it up that they've offended, that they've had some kind of fault against me. Now, this isn't just like a pet peeve or something that annoys me about them, but a true grievance or a true thing that's harming me or harming them. Then Jesus says, step two, if they don't listen to you, take one or two others along with you. So then you would maybe include one or two more in approaching the brother or sister. Step three, if he refuses to listen to them, tell the church, you can come to me. you can bring in the body, but only if you've gone to them first and you've gone to them second. Then you can include the church. And then four, if he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Now, some of you might say, finally, I can let it go. I can just ignore the brother or sister and treat them as if they didn't exist, a Gentile or a tax collector. But I don't think that's what this is saying. You see, this is in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. And what did Jesus do to him? He called him. He pursued him. So that even after we've gone after our brothers and sisters and they reject us or they don't listen, that doesn't mean we reject and forget them. We continue to pursue them and look for those open doors in order to win them over perhaps at another time. And so, brothers and sisters, let us gather today as a body belonging to one another. Christ says to us, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So let's recognize today, Christ is here in the midst of us, in our family gathering, with our brothers and sisters, We belong to each other whether we like it or not. And so let's put our love into action.